Come on.
Spending too much time on social? Is your daily screen time over 2 hours? Are you a little bit overweight? Not saving enough money? Any or all of these are familiar. Strive could be for you. The Strive 2-week online bootcamp will help you to detox your mind, body, and money, getting you on your way to a happier, healthier, wealthier, and more confident life. Go to strivedetox.com, strivedetox.com, and get your mind, body, and money right. Welcome to Money Savage, a savage approach to personal finance. This is George Grumbacher, and the time is right. Welcome to today's guests, the strong and powerful Richard Haddon and Bill Catlett. Gentlemen, are you ready to do this?
We are.
Let's do it.
Excellent. Let's do this. Bill and Richard are speakers, consultants, coaches. They are the authors of the popular Contented Cows Leadership Series, and they are the founders of Contented Cow Partners. I'm excited to have you on. Gentlemen, tell us a little bit about your personal lives, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
This is Bill. I've been accused of not having a personal life because I love what I do. I love what Richard and I do, but when I'm not actually doing it, there's a couple things that I try to spend time with. One is I've got a serious addiction to fly fishing, so I like to feed that. And two, as my cause for giving something back, I'm on the board of the National Foundation for Transplants, and we support organ transplant patients nationwide.
Nice.
Pretty well covers it.
Great. Well, I live in this is Richard. I live in Jacksonville, Florida, with my wife and grown son, and my grown daughter lives away from home. And my wife, who's much smarter than I am, has a full-time career, which she's now pursuing from her office here in the house. And gosh, in addition to my work, which is was before COVID, was a lot of speaking and training and flying around and so forth. But I'm also very involved in the arts and music and theater, especially here in the local community.
Nice. Well, I appreciate that. So we are having this conversation on April the 27th. And obviously, very few people are flying around and working with organizations with boots on the ground. So just wanted to get your takes on where the workplace is really going.
And that's a good question, too, because I'm not sure there's any sage answers. But we try to stay pretty well connected with the workplace or workspace, as we might refer to it today, and also look at it in terms of how it's being impacted by the virus, which is obviously in a significant way. You know, something that I was reading recently is Deloitte recently did a report entitled The Future of Work, which I think pertains exactly to what you're asking. And it details some of their hunches about the who, the what, and the where of work. And we don't ordinarily shill for our competitors, but in this case, the work is pretty darn good. It's got some useful stuff in it, and I believe we've sent you the link to it, George, so that if any of the listeners want it, you can share it with them. Just kind of cruising through it at about 35,000 feet. One of the inescapable conclusions is echoed by Tom Friedman in the report is that work is being disconnected from jobs. Jobs and work are being disconnected from companies, which in turn, in his words, are increasingly becoming platforms. So work is being parceled out to a bunch of disparate players, whoever and wherever they are. Regular employees, contractors, gig workers, you name it. And those folks have different levels of attachment to the organization. And this phenomenon knows very few, if any, boundaries. And in fact, many years ago, British management scholar Charles Handy said that, and this has been, I don't know, 12, 15 years, he said that corporations need to stop referring to themselves as employers and instead as organizers of work. organizers of work. And that is exactly what's happening. And as with so many other things, Mr. Handy was spot on. And I guess it's probably appropriate to use the word handy. And you're perhaps wondering, so what? I'll tell you what, if you're a manager who's responsible for getting stuff done and out the door with any degree of reliability and efficiency, your job just got a heck of a lot different and harder in some respects.
No doubt.
And I mean, gone are the days when you could look around the room at 8 a.m. and count noses. Yeah, all nine of them are here. Here's our work for the day, folks. Get after it. That doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah, and Bill, you and I have talked about the impact of gig workers, which has been around for a number of years, but it's becoming more and more relevant, I think, all the time. And Robin Chase, who is the co-founder of Zipcar, the kind of rent-by-the-hour car rental company, she had a really interesting observation. She noted, she said, you know, my father had one job in his lifetime. I will have six jobs in my lifetime, and my kids will have six jobs at the same time. And it's absolutely true. I've got one of those kids who has about six jobs at the same time. And it's because he has intentionally opted out of the traditional workforce. And he is in a large, large group of a lot of people who have done that. And, you know, that just puts even a greater squeeze on the labor supply that we've always looked at. There are just a lot of people who have taken themselves voluntarily out of that regular labor pool to kind of do their own thing. And not all of them are succeeding, but a lot of them are. And the ironic thing is, it's those who are succeeding at doing their own thing who are probably the ones that we'd rather have working for us, because those are the ones who have the drive, they have the creativity, the entrepreneurial spirit, all of those things, and they're applying that to their own endeavor. And traditional employers have got to look at that and say, you know, what is it that's attractive to gig workers or contract workers or so forth that we could maybe provide? And maybe traditional employers can't provide everything that's attractive to those gig workers, but we do have to compete for talent in a world where that model exists and where it's very attractive. So we tell leaders, you know, you have got to ask yourself, what is it that it appeals that I could perhaps replicate? And I would suggest it has a lot of things to do with things like autonomy and freedom and creativity. I was talking with a CEO who said to me, yeah, but we offer so much more stability and security and things like that. And I'm thinking, yeah, right. And a lot of people are looking at what's happening now in the midst of COVID-19 and seeing that stability and security was a lot more fragile than we thought. And some of them are probably saying right now, no, thank you. When all this is over, I'm going to take my chances on my own endeavor.
No, that's a lot of really good stuff right there from you gentlemen. So a lot of entities should start referring to themselves as organizers of work. Bill, you mentioned that. I'm going to try to weave this together. Mm-hmm. What sort of popped into my mind was so many of us find meaning through our work, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we need to find it from an entity. And Richard, what you were talking about is, you know, somebody who is successful at managing their own multiple different revenue streams, those are in fact the people that any organization would want, versus somebody who just goes to work at the post office for 30 years and collects a check and sort of phones it in. No offense to postal workers out there. Do you guys know what I'm sort of getting at? And I suppose that's what you're talking about, where it's maybe incumbent on leaders to be able to scratch that itch that people want for meaning.
Yeah, I think that both people and organizations are really having to come to grips with, what do we want to be when we grow up? Hmm. What is our business model going to be? And if we're going to be an organization that is able to attract and retain the kind of people that we need, we've got to be putting everything where our mouth has been for a long time with respect to the employment relationship. And I was thinking about this a couple hours ago when I was reading an announcement by Chick-fil-A Georgia based. I mean, everybody in the world has heard of Chick-fil-A.
Sure.
and their chicken sandwiches. And they were announcing that you know what? We realize that the state of Georgia is, quote unquote, opening up. But when it comes to reopening our stores, we're going to do it on our timetable. And we're not going to do it until and unless, you know, we're confident that our workers are going to be safe and our customers are going to be safe. And nothing's going to push that schedule. And they've succeeded in large part, I might add, over the years by having that sort of environment. People know it. Not just anybody can keep a job at Chick-fil-A. They're demanding, but they have every reason to be, and they treat people well. I mean, they Lord knows they work you hard, but you know that going in.
Well, and I think that says a lot about, you know, Bill and I are not saying that the traditional work model, traditional employer model is completely finished. We're just saying that it's morphing, it's changing, it's probably changing at a faster rate now than it was even a few years ago. But there's still plenty of people out there who are managers, you know, there's somebody's boss. When I speak to an audience, I'll say to them, you know, raise your hand if someone calls you boss, you know, realizing they may also call you something else. But generally, you know, a large proportion of the audience raises their hand. So there's still a lot of people out there who are managers, who are leaders, who are somebody's boss in what looks like perhaps a more traditional sense. But the thing is, right now, I think if you are a manager, your leadership skills are being scrutinized and evaluated right now more than ever before. And whether that's at the corporate level, as Bill was talking about at Chick-fil-A, you know, they're making some decisions. We're going to look out for our people, for our customers, and we're going to do things on our timeline. And I think employees are really looking at their leaders right now, and they're watching to see how they handle what's going on right now. And pandemic or not, you know, you've got people working for you who, you know, they're working from home or somewhere else. They probably don't have shoes on. They probably don't have pants on it, you know, today. But some of them may be contractors. Some of them maybe you've never even laid eyes on, or maybe it's their first day. Maybe it's their only day with your merry band, but they're still producing value for you and your customers. And, you know, your customers, I don't think, really care what the tax status relationship is between the company and the person who's serving them. They're looking for value, and you're the leader who leads that. You're it. You're responsible, and this is what you've got to work with.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of bands and not having pants on, I thought of this on Saturday the 18th of this month when I was watching the COVID benefit concert, which among lots of other artists, the Rolling Stones. The band members, each in their own location, probably their homes, performed the song "You Can't Always Get What You Want," which is a song they've easily performed 10,000 times. And I watched them from Memphis, where we were having a terrible thunderstorm, and so the DirecTV signal wasn't too good. But as best I can tell, despite the fact that they can probably do that song backwards, owing to the lack of proximity, only one band member, Mick Jagger, was actively singing and playing. I mean, thank goodness Charlie Watts is doing a fantastic job of playing the air drums. But that says that's kind of what we're doing these days, because if we're managers, I'm betting that in a lot of cases our folks are scattered to wherever, and in a lot of respects we're still trying to get, you know, work done, make sure people have what they need and be productive. And oh, by the way, that's not going to go away, you know, whenever, if ever, this virus gets fixed. And that's another thing that's really impacting the workspace.
Yeah, it's an incredible opportunity and an incredible challenge all at the same time. So, you know, I think that's great stuff. So are there really specific things that you can say, here's what people need to be doing?
Yeah, I think there are. And I think the first one has to do with communication skills, especially today. Communication has been not muted, but it's been, I guess, quietened a little bit by the fact that we're not actually communicating with each other in the same room. And we've got to really give some special attention to the communication that we might have when we're working with a remote workforce. And you know, before this happened, people were still working remotely or working out of town. You know, a lot of people report to someone who lives in a whole different state than they do. But I think this causes us to really focus on our communication skills. We've got to learn that, you know, we're pretty good at the output part of communication, but we've got to get a lot better at the input part and listening, really listening to what people are saying, not just waiting to talk. And so, you know, just one very specific thing that, I think managers can do that will do a couple of things. Number one, it'll show that they care about the person they're communicating with, and that is just to learn and to use a person's specific communication preferences. Right now, there's a lot of ways we can communicate, whether it's by phone or email or text or Zoom or whatever video conference platform you're using. Find out, what's the best way for me to get in touch with you? What's the best way for me to contact you and to have different kinds of communication with you? Because, you know, it's not just what's most convenient for me, the manager. It's about what works best and is going to provide the best communication for the people I work with.
Communication to me is, I sum it up by saying that we're trying to make meaning. So, you know, it's not so much the emoting. I need to make meaning if I'm a leader of any ilk. And I liken it to the job of an air traffic controller for a bunch of pilots who maybe for a while they're flying on instruments in sketchy weather, but they're all in different places. And you've got to give them very clear information at precisely the right time. Make sure it's understood. You've got to trust your radar, their instruments, their ability, and have a plan B ready to go when something hits the fan. And because if the stuff gets bumpy, they're going to want to change altitude or routing or have you read back their last command. That holds true for us, too, because in so many cases, particularly today, and to a pretty high degree, it's going to continue. Our folks are going to be in different places, different time zones, and have different degrees of connectedness, maybe different languages that they communicate in. And we're going to have to make sure that we're making meaning. And we don't have all day to do it, but it takes a pretty constant effort. And frankly, it's something that a lot of us are not, including myself, not especially well-skilled at.
Yeah. Again, an opportunity and a challenge. So I think, you know, certainly the more, if you are in a role where you are supposed to be managing or supporting or leading somebody else, hopefully this has been top of mind or at least on your mind for as long as you've been doing it. But hopefully if you're not, this is an opportunity to really step up and start doing that. And if you don't, well, then the people that you are supposed to be leading may find an opportunity somewhere else. So, well, yeah. Gentlemen, Savage Nation is ready for your difference making tip. What do you have for them?
This Bill, I've got one that I'll toss out. It's something I do try to live by and suggest pretty strongly to our clients that they do as well. And that is, before we can even think about leading, guiding, directing a group of others, we have absolutely positively got to have ourselves squared away first. And that starts with just having a sense of direction. Where are we trying to go? What do I stand for? I've got to make sure that I'm doing the kind of things that are going to keep my body in the shape that it needs to be. Do things that will enable me to have the finances, I think that the point of your work, George, to support the stuff that I'm trying to get done. And one of the important things that I found along the way in this, it's easier to say than it is to do, but surround yourself with people who care enough about you to tell you the truth, to push you, you know, to take a few minutes out every now and then and ring you up in whatever fashion works for you and them and say, okay, how's it going? And they really do want to hear the answer. And they're going to call you on it if it doesn't sound right. I've got a good friend who I count in that arena, and it's kind of like my board of directors, that it wasn't that long ago he called me up. I recall distinctly it was on a Thursday afternoon. He says, I got a question for you. I said, what's that? He said, how many sales calls have you made this week? And I said, well, none. don't you think you should? So I want people like that around me who clearly have my best interests at heart. And, you know, I try to return the favor too. That's something that we all can do and I think should be doing, particularly in times like today. And maybe one of the best ways of doing that is to start by being that person for somebody else that you care about.
Wick, that is great stuff. That definitely gets it. Come on.
Come on.
Gentlemen, thank you both for coming on. Where can Savage Nation learn more about you?
They can come to our website at contentedcows.com. Contented Cows, that's contentedcows.com. There's a lot of information there about how you can help lead your workforce, employee engagement, and some of the services that we provide.
Excellent. Well, Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Richard and Bill your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to contentedcows.com. Check out all the great resources that they have on the page. Thank you again, Richard and Bill.
Hey, thank you, George.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight because we are all in this together.